Hi everyone, and welcome or welcome back to the Planting Seeds podcast. My name is Jan and I am in the startup dock in Harburg right now, sitting here with Wienke Reynolds, Johanna Hill and Daniela Arango from Lignopure. And this is a first in two ways, because one, it's our first episode in English. And second, it's our first episode with three interview guests at the same time. So I'm very excited about this and thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having us.
Now, before we start with Lignopure and what you guys do, I wanna know, who are you and where are you from? What did you do before Lignopure? Joanna, do you wanna start?
Yeah. So I am Joanna, first of all, and I'm from Mexico. I was working in Mexico before coming to Germany for a pharmaceutical company. And so 2.5 years down the road, I decided I wanted to continue my career in an international way and came to the TUHH to do my PhD.
What did you do your PhD in?
Thermal separation processes. Basically, mm-hmm. I work with lignin, with what we're working also now in Lignopure, and then developing strategies how to valorize this material from the industry.
So process engineering or bioprocess engineering.
Yeah.
Daniela, do you want to continue?
Sure. So I also come from Latin America, but big down the south. I'm coming from Colombia. And basically, yeah, I was finishing my bachelor thesis in the US, so I started back in Colombia, but I started like an international career at that step. And then I realized I definitely want to continue going abroad for my studies, and then I applied to Germany and to other countries here in Europe. I decided I wanted Europe. And what caught me here in Hamburg was this possibility for the double degree with the NIT, I guess. Couple of your audience know about this. So
it's the
like
technology management, right?
Correct. It's like an independent institute, more for management. So I came to do the double degree in bioprocess engineering, and then this one more related to business. And that's how I got in touch with Joanna. She was also looking for someone with bio background, but interest in the part of the business, to support with the business plan, actually. So we have this idea of a company. Can we create a business out of that? And that's how, like, we got in touch, let's say, at the university.
Inka, what about you?
I'm actually, I would say, like, the regional plant here. I'm actually born in Hamburg,
okay. But
I did not grow up here, so I came back for my bachelor studies in bioprocess engineering at Hamburg University of Technology, and I also did my master's there, and then continued with my PhD at the same institute as Joanna, Institute of Thermal Separation Processes with Professor Smirnova, but not explicitly lignin, but further up the process road, so actually a treatment of biomass to isolate the lignin,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we got to work together, and Joanna infected us with the idea of creating a startup based on the idea of valorizing lignin for high-value products.
Now that's a good link to talk about what does Lignopure actually do. Joanna, what does Lignopure do?
Yes, so in Lignopure, so we basically create a strategy or a technology to valorize and to upcycle a material that is currently underutilized by the industry. So we basically transform, let's say in general words, material or useless material into like a high value product.
Okay, and the material is lignin?
The material is lignin, so basically lignin is produced by biorefineries,
mm-hmm.
and also by the pulp and paper industry, but let's say that's another story. So newly, or in the past decades, so the type of lignin that we work on is produced by biorefineries, so those aiming to produce bioethanol, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But the lignin is still, underutilized, despite a lot of studies saying that the lignin can be utilized for many things, many products, so you cannot really find some alternatives in the market. So we ask ourselves, so why is this happening? What is there missing? And of course, sitting at the university, or I always say in the nest of innovation, we have the opportunity to really, you know, like fill this gap, which was in this case a technology to make this jump or this step for transforming this material, which is, let's say, burning or underutilized into something that the industry can actually use.
Okay, so lignin as part of every biomass, like wood or grass, and you said in refineries that they're using the cellulose, right, from the from the biomass, and lignin is basically like a waste product for them. They're not using it. Okay.
This is about to change, let's say, for because obviously the industry is realizing, right, that there is value also in the waste. So the scenario, let's say, is changing, but we do believe we are, let's say, now in the right time with our technology and what we're doing to make the step, to make the lignin great.
And what are you using the material for? What are you using?
So at the moment, what we are developing are ingredients for cosmetic applications. So basically from this very raw material, we transform it through our patent technology and we can obtain fine powders that can already serve a purpose in, let's say, a final cosmetic or social sunscreen, for example. So we're targeting different functionalities like SPF boosting capacity, so to improve, let's say, the protection given already by a formula, also antioxidation to protect the formula stability, and of course lignin is a brown product that's coming from nature, but this is also a nice quality because we are taking advantage of an existing polymer that is already providing the brown color. So with this you can create variety of shades, for example, for skin-like tones and so on.
Maybe that's a good point to tell a bit more about lignin as a natural polymer, because even though it's everywhere around us, not many people know about lignin per se or what it can do, what it does in nature. So you already pointed out very right that it's in wood and grasses, for example. So every biomass that it turns into wood-like structure, it lignifies. So that's like when the lignin goes into the cell wall, it actually makes like the flex, the soft green biomass into something rigid. So it's a bit like steel concrete. So the steel is the cellulose and the lignin is kind of the concrete in the wood. So it gives protection, it gives stability, but it also has natural functionalities like UV protection or antimicrobial barrier. So this idea of bringing these natural protection functionalities of the lignin into a product is very old. So it has been discussed in literature for many years that lignin has the potential to go into cosmetics as a natural sunscreen, for example, but nobody has ever done that. And this is our vision, that we are like one of the first to prove that this actually is doable and that it's a business case, because it's like one of the very few natural materials that actually can give these functionalities.
Cool. So how did the idea for using this material come? Like how do you come up with that idea? Did you just like stand under the shower or you drive in your car and then you get that idea? Or that's not really how innovation works, right?
No. No. I mean, maybe I jump here into answering that question, because I told you that I worked before in Mexico for a pharmaceutical company, but there I was like head of the spin-offs for that company. And these spin-offs were dealing with valorization of natural resources and transforming these natural resources, which were typically waste, into high value applications. So this was something that I already had like in my mind and in my heart, really. So when I got the opportunity to work in this institute of Professor Smirnova, actually, this was already, you know, like the link. For me, it was at the very early stage to say, okay, why are there like no products in the market with lignin? Well, you have these thousands or millions of tons of lignin which are being produced, you know, like why is this? I truly, and again, this is like in my heart, I do believe, so we're already taking, you know, resources from nature. It's like a crime not to use everything what we can, so that we can really go to, let's say, like zero waste concepts and all of this. I mean, very early stage during my PhD, then started looking for some funding opportunities. And then, I mean, also if some students that want to spin off from the university are going to listen to that. So something that you have to do at the very early stage is identify what is the know-how that you're missing, and then have like a great team around you, which was the case for us here, like with Vinke and Daniela as well. So to find yourself the people also that have like to believe in the idea and to make it happen.
So when did you know that you wanted to move from it being a research topic to doing a startup?
I will say in the first year of the PhD.
Okay.
I mean, also another thing which I mean might be relevant for what we're discussing. So I'm truly believer that when we do research and we investigate something, that research has to be directed into doing something for the society, and not only. I mean, only, let's say, I don't know, like having a research article or writing a thesis that nobody will ever read again, right? I mean, we had the times where knowledge generation was great, but we're living in times now where there are problems in the world that needs to be solved. So it will be great, really, if all the research and the activities are directed towards those problems.
Yeah, I love that mentality.
Yeah.
So how did you find each other as a team?
In the corridor.
Actually, as I said before, we were colleagues at the institute, so we kind of like we were working on the same research project. So like I was doing research on the processes that generated the lignins, on which Joanna was doing her research. So we had to work together before, and eventually, I mean, I was always thinking I could also stay in academia. Mm-hmm. Now I think maybe we would have been relaxed sometimes, more relaxed than now. And then eventually Joanna knocked on my door and asked me what I wanted to do with my future.
Very sudden.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that was pretty much it, right? I mean, then we were in, and then, I mean, we're two tech heads, so we needed some support on the business part. So we were actively looking for a student. Or team member to fill in that gap, and Daniela's here today.
But that story was a bit more informal, no? It was through a party, so a common friend of us, and then they were discussing Joanna's future, right? And she was mentioning, yes, I'm gonna found this company, but I actually need support or something, yeah, to develop the business plan. Do you happen to know anyone? And then this guy also, she just dropped me a WhatsApp message. Like, you should get in touch with this lady. She's looking for someone with business ideas, but also a background in bio. And I was like, oh, sounds like me.
That's me.
Yeah, but actually a perfect fit since you were doing your master's in bioprocess engineering, right? And then the NIT part.
Correct.
The technology. Okay. The technology management degree at the NIT has sort of like an entrepreneurial track or something, right? They teach about business development.
Correct.
And innovation tools. Would you say that was an advantage for being in a startup?
Absolutely. And like they have two tracks, the classical track, which is more for like people that want to go directly to big corporates and
mm-hmm.
maybe go into a more managerial or senior position. And then they have this E-track, they call it.
Okay.
And so it does give you the tools, like, okay, what's the scheme of a business plan? What is the minimum bare that you need to prepare a pitch? But also in terms of an organization, how to plan a company actually.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely give me all the tools to think about it and to like just sit together and start with those first things and ideas, yes.
Vinke, you just said that Joanna and you are the two tech heads, and then you need someone to take care of the business side of the startup. I want to know how does the division of work look like in a startup? Because I bet it's probably beneficial if there's one person who takes care of the product, one who takes care of the finance. Like, how does this work for you?
Yeah, actually, that's only partly true. today. So originally we were two engineers doing our PhD, but Joanna from the beginning had this vision of creating the company and has experience in industry and is nowadays our CEO. So she's not doing much technical stuff anymore, but it's always good if she, because she understands what we're doing, what the industry is doing, sees the connection points. So Joanna is our CEO. Daniela is actually today not doing the business part anymore, but is responsible for our product. So she is chief product officer nowadays. So taking care of all the product innovation and everything that has to do with the launch of our product from a technical point of view. And I am now leading the technical department as a CTO. So I'm responsible for our production, but also for the technical innovation that is happening. So whenever we want to launch a new product, we also need technical innovation behind that. So of course, in a startup, in the beginning, it's kind of messy because everybody's kind of doing everything, but you're pretty soon shaping. And then you have a small team with like one person representing multiple departments. And the more you grow, the more defined it gets. But I mean, still today, we are like one person departments. But it's shaping the more we grow.
Now it's more like two persons department. But yes, you're like, yeah, I'm the head of the department. Whoever's under you? Just me. That's kind of life for a while.
Yeah, but I was gonna ask if whether that changed over time, but yeah. So in the beginning,
that was the change. I think this is also important, like not to give, let's say, because what you mentioned about having one person taking care of one thing, that's the ideal case. And normally this will not happen in a startup, not in the first year, maybe not in the first 5 years, but this is also something, like this is why it's so rewarding and this is why we can also, you know, grow and be part or taking care of different things, because we have this learning, you know, like this learning stage, which is super, super condensed in the first years of a startup. So, I mean, even now, I mean, we're trying our best to split, let's say, but in the reality, we're pretty involved in everything what is happening.
Now, you have been around for 3-4 years as a startup. Joanna, can you take me on a journey of what has happened since then, maybe some major milestones that you accomplished in that time?
Yes. So we started with our, let's say, like startup activities in 2018. So that was actually really cool. I think a milestone that we can mention there is that we had the Future Hamburg Award. And this was, this was in an international level. We won the second place. There were, I don't know, like 200 startups all around the world applying. So this was for us, you know, okay, that means something. You know, we're not totally crazy with what we're doing. It's a cool idea. So that was like a confirmation. Right then, we actually had the chance to apply for in a ramp-up program. This is program in Hamburg, which is from the Investition for the Bank Hamburg, so the IFB. And we got this project even before we were funded. So we funded the company so that we could receive the project. The amount is irrelevant, but what we did with the money is what is important. So this was basically the first year of us as a startup. So this program allowed us to have like prototyping of the material, to have a proof of concept of our business, to have some, resources for the team, some marketing. And it was also for us to shape the business, because we were like going in different directions at the beginning, and then pretty soon, also within this program, we realized, okay, this will be the way to go. This inner ramp-up program got us through the whole COVID year. This was 2020, and in June 2020, we started, talking to potential investors, and we closed the seed round for 2.2 million euros in December 2020. And with this, so we basically did some certifications, so all the regulatory, let's say, pathway that we needed for our products to be allowed to be sold in those high value applications, like Daniela mentioned, in cosmetics, but also the technology transfer of our transformation technology. We went from the university into pilot scale, and of course to grow the team and to fill in the gaps in the know-how that we had before.
Okay. Joanna, you just talked about technology transfer. Can you, or maybe some of you, Minka or Daniela, dive a little deeper into this?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, that's a topic that excites me a lot. If we want to bring a lignin-based cosmetic ingredient to the market, we actually need to be able to produce this.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment in Europe, there is no facility that's able to do that. I mean, we cannot just take lignin and sell it. So we actually need to develop quite a lot around hygienic production, the full approval, the quality standards for the product need to be developed. And one major milestone for us definitely is the implementation of our own production unit. So we have like two main bases for LignoPure. One is our main company office in Hamburg. And the second is our production unit in Buxtehude, close to Hamburg. And we started constructing, with the money from the seed investment, the production plant in late summer last year. And then we had it fully installed and commissioned this spring. So at the moment we're in test production and having the first materials being sent to potential customers, which
awesome.
Is also a major milestone.
So this factory site in Buxtehude is where you obtain the lignin, or where you go from lignin to your products, or both?
The second description is the correct one. So we're basically sourcing the material
mm-hmm.
from the biorefinery, so like buying it from them in this crude form that we transform and then finally obtain the ingredient. Yeah.
Okay. I'm interested in, during the very early stages, the prototyping, when you didn't have the bigger scale of factory yet, where did you do that? What kind of labs were you using, or who was supporting you with that? Daniela?
Yeah, so basically the university was the biggest support at the beginning, and we're still utilizing some of the spaces. We have an agreement as guest scientists in the technicum, actually. So one of the institutes, we're still kind of part of that institute as a startup, so as an independent company. And of course, at the beginning, we also worked with subcontractors. So let's say there are some equipment available already in the industry, people that are trying different processes. And so we kind of mix together subcontractors to kind of mimic how our process will look like
mm-hmm.
at a larger scale than in the laboratory.
Okay.
So those were the first trials that we did.
Are there other companies that are doing similar stuff, or like competitors, or doing trying to tackle the same challenges as you are doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so there are, let's say the competitive landscapes looks different now as what was looking when we started.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in 2019, there was one startup in the US, and then maybe two startups here in Europe, and now we're looking at maybe 10 companies, you know, like trying to do this valorization of lignin. They have also, you know, I mean, concept, let's say, from waste into valuable products, and also going to or planning to enter into the same markets, similar markets as we're doing. So, I mean, this is, of course, also rewarding,
mm-hmm.
You know, for us. I mean, we started, let's say, also something, some kind of a trend as well into the startup landscape. And yeah, I mean, I will say we don't see it as a competitors really, because we're doing something good.
Yeah.
You know, like if some of us, and we are for sure going to be successful.
And the market.
But then, you know, if we make it, then we're doing something good, something that is needed. And the more the efforts are there, the more this is going to become a reality.
Mm-hmm. And right, and then it is as a reward others take notice, and I'm sure the market is big enough for more than just one company.
Yes, and we need the validation as well. So yeah. Lignin is a very well-known molecule for chemists and other people in the heart industry, but for consumer goods, where we want to take it, is a very novel ingredient. So the more the merrier in that regard. So yeah. We can all differentiate ourselves pretty well and keep our own competitive advantages, then that's no problem. It's actually better because we do have to, let's say, build this market, because there is a need, but no one really will link the need directly to lignin. Mm. So if they start to learn about lignin and become something acceptable in terms of regulation, people know about it, then it's also a benefit for us.
Over the time of working on LignoPure or just being entrepreneurs, what are some really rewarding moments, but also what are some difficult moments? Joanna, do you want to start? Or
yeah. I will say very rewarding moments are, because I mentioned, I was working in my PhD with this technology, but also the product. So this was, the background that we took for LignoPure. And for me, it's very rewarding when I'm in the team meetings, in our different two people departments. and then I see how far the company is going. When I don't know anymore what they're talking about, this is very rewarding for me. It's we have the right team, which is taking it the step forward.
Daniela, what do you think?
I agree. I think that's one of the things I enjoy the most, to have new people on board, for example, in both ways, new employees or new students that are interested and are delighted by the idea. Mm-hmm. But also we are exploring potential customers already and have exchanged with those people. So that's really interesting. When they see the product, and at the beginning they are what is happening? I don't understand. And then after the pitch, or they have the opportunity to have the powder in their hands and they can see one of our prototypes, they see also the potential. So that's also super exciting. I think difficult things, of course, as Joanna was mentioning, we're basically doing everything, a little bit of everything, so that sometimes can be a little bit overwhelming. But now that we start to grow a little bit and you can start splitting activities and see how people can pick it up, it gets easier.
Mika, what about you?
I was spontaneously thinking of two situations. So one, for sure, thinking of the team, in late winter this year, when we were all the team in the facilities, getting ready and having the first test run with the engineering company, the first time running lignin, and we had the first ligno-based powder coming out, and everybody was going crazy. We have so funny pictures, us celebrating the first release.
Hugging the
grams. Yeah, the first grams, the full team there. And the second situation is I remember, especially Joanna, talking to corporates, to well-established companies from the pulp and paper industry about the idea, and they were thinking she was completely crazy. And I remember that somebody once told us that this is how you recognize innovation, that initially people think you're completely crazy, and now if we talk to the people, this is not the way anymore. So now they take it serious, mm-hmm. with what we're doing, and they see the potential. And this is really rewarding to what the team has achieved. Mm-hmm. That we actually can show that this is possible, that the crazy it might have sounded in the beginning.
And I bet it's not all sunshine being in a startup. What are challenges?
Time and budget.
Time and budget.
Yeah, you have to think about budget, let's say, more often than in a normal company, mm-hmm. right? And you're also building everything from scratch. You're not only developing the product, but you're actually developing the company. So you have to tackle two things in parallel. So developing a product that will go to the market and generate profit and make you rich later on. But also, you need a running company for that. So you cannot be selling a product if you don't have a salesperson and a whole sales strategy. And for that, in the background, you need like some sort of HR company, structure in the company, sorry. And then behind that, you also need, okay, the accounting and everything. So there's this multitude of layers that as an employee, people not usually perceive. And as an entrepreneur, you have to deal with all of that at the same time.
Yeah, like the taking care of the money part. I think this is especially relevant for those maybe spin-offs that come from their PhDs like us, like we're really into, let's say, the science and technology and all of this is very exciting, right? But in the startup, then you also have to take care that you don't run out of money. And right. This is like typically the not so much fun part, right? Yeah, so I always tell we're dreamers as entrepreneurs, so we typically leave away the things that are not fun or are not according to the dream. But if we run out of money, then the dream is over.
Yeah, right. That's maybe a good link to my next question, which would be, what would your next steps look like and what are tasks that excite you at the moment?
Yeah, so I can start. So we're about to start with our fundraising for the Series A. So particularly to what excites us, as you mentioned, I will say is that. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool looking into the future. I mean, accommodating our plans. How will that look like? Then presenting all this information to potential investors. And of course, again, I mean, it's really cool when you already talking to those potential investors. And so planning, I will say, for the moment is for everybody very key activity.
Okay. Linke, what about you?
I think also for Daniela and me at the moment, exciting is really the market launch of the Lignum base, like really getting the quality straight, having all the internal procedures, like really see the people know what they're doing. We have all the routines in place and it's starting to run more smooth. Sending out the material, really seeing how it is perceived by the customers as well. But Jonah's right. I mean, we have so much to plan and still so many ideas in the pipeline as well. And really like putting this into timelines and where we want to be in 5 or 10 years, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we do have some coming projects that could be sort of like co-development, so to say. So people that are already interested in trying our ingredient in their own products. So that's hopefully gonna be available later on next year. So that's also pretty exciting to see, like, okay, some people are already using it, even though we hadn't like completely launched to the market, but it's sort of a validation for us as well. And of course, it's just exciting to have like a finished product that we can say, hey, it has Lignum base inside.
Yeah, cool. Miki, you just said that there are so many ideas and how you want to grow. If there's students who are trying to, they're maybe looking for an internship or try to work as a working student, what areas are you looking for people to support your team, and how can they reach you?
We always have a good use for people who are excited about what they do, can identify with our topic, and would want to be part of the team. So we need support on all ends, but especially on the product development and in the production. Mm-hmm. So in both lines. So if you're interested, feel free to contact us.
Dear listeners. we have a specific email for that. That will be hr@lignopure.de.
Also to be found on our website.
All right.
Career, I think it is.
We will link that under the podcast. Now, towards the end, we always like to ask a question that goes back to if you were starting over as a student again, and if you were able to give yourself some piece of advice, what would that look like? What would that be?
I don't know, that's a difficult one. I mean, if we had done things differently, we would not be where we are. Also with the things that maybe failed or when we were running in the wrong direction, it never would have brought us where we are now. Mm. I mean, especially in our early phase, there were some things we needed to learn the hard way. There's so many things you can do with lignin, and we were quite lost in focus sometimes.
Exactly. Focus, that will be, I think, the key word to say. I mean, it's still hard for us to nail down, okay, what is really now, let's say, the priority, as you can see here in the board. But yeah, at the beginning, you have a lot of ideas, and it's really, really important that you focus. I mean, especially, I will say, for the three of us, for the founders of the company, if we don't do that, then we cannot transmit to the team, you know, like, what are the priorities, and we need definitely to do that. But as we're young and everything looks like a possibility, you know, when you look around, then we typically don't really focus.
And you have to find like kind of a balance, I mean, especially for the students, I find a balance between like the things that interest you just as a topic, and find and also do courses, for example, where you think that they're like a must for where you would see yourself in the future. So I for example, tried to scatter my courses quite widely during the master's, and I find myself digging up all lectures and regular distances just because I remember I read something about this somewhere, I heard it in a lecture in the past, and it really comes in very handy in many cases. To have really diverse topics for what we need today.
Mm. Also, for students, maybe if, depending on the career, because one thing is, you know, like being an entrepreneur, but maybe you want to be a professor, maybe you want to go into the industry, something very important that I would recommend is really to find a mentor. I mean, to find somebody who has already walked the path that you want to be, let's say, in the next 5 to 10 years, and yeah, look for advice. Look,
yeah.
You know, what were the difficulties, but also some key points, so to allow you to get there.
Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would have wanted to talk about?
Yes. No, I mean, if you have the possibility also now with the activities that you're doing, and somehow to, you know, to offer to the students of the university, or to show that there is a possibility to go into entrepreneurship, to have your own startup, to have an idea and then making it a reality, to have more visibility inside the university, so that the students know about that. That would be a great activity to have. I mean, of course, we're always, you know, like, willing to help and everything, but the university typically, and of course, we love the university. But, I mean, there is this typical, let's say, growth path for somebody who comes out of the TU to go into a huge company and to be an engineer somewhere. This is one option. But it doesn't have to be the only option. Doesn't have to be for what the people are trained inside, you know?
It's also something that we try to show with these podcast episodes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of this type, I don't know, maybe, well, you did mention how things kind of started at the beginning, because it was more like proactiveness from the team side, I would say, especially like, yes, Joanna, like just applying to these different like competitions and like accelerator programs and so on. Because sometimes I feel like as students, we think that, I don't know, someone needs to be calling us to do that.
but like, or like you need a professor to support that part, but it's actually not true. Many of those things you can apply on your own, your team of like friends, and you don't have to have a perfect pitch or anything like that. You just have to put your ideas together and just go and do it and see how it goes. So I think that's something that we need to start clarifying. Like, I feel like many students don't see the opportunity or like feel that it's so far away, but actually you can just like really just apply. There are many that have like this idea phase and they just validate your idea. Maybe someone thinks it's okay or it's not so okay.
No.
And that's it.
Yeah, the feedback you can get is like one of the most valuable points. If you have an idea, go out. I mean, of course, it should be protected in a proper way, but I mean, go out and talk to the people. Talk to people who know the industry. Talk to potential clients. I mean, that's the most valuable feedback you can get with whatever idea you have. And yeah, we had to learn some things the hard way, but it really shaped us to where we are today.
Okay.
Jump in the water even if you don't know how to swim. You will learn.
You will learn. Okay, Joanna, Daniela, Wienke, thank you so much for taking the time today for the podcast. And
thank you, John.
To all our listeners, thanks for tuning in again, and until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.